Welcome to Navigating Cancer Together. My name is Talaya Dindi. I'm a cancer thriver, cancer doula, independent patient advocate, and owner of On the Other Side. I use my experience to help others get on the other side of cancer. Gaps between the guidance, emotional support, and education that are needed and what one receives can be huge. This podcast fills those gaps by sharing stories, resources, and information about all things related to cancer and wellness. I interview guests from all walks of life who are living with cancer, caregivers, and those who are thriving on the other side. Also, I talk with organizations, healthcare professionals, and experts in the health and wellness spaces who offer complementary and integrative care. Join me. We are in this together. Hello, everyone. This is Talaya Dindi from OnTheOtherSide.life, and you're listening to Navigating Cancer Together, the show that has something for everyone facing cancer. Why? Because everyone is different with different needs, beliefs, and perspectives. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. I encourage you to open your minds and your hearts. Today, our very special guest is Michael and Tatiana Parker. Michael Parker, a kidney cancer survivor, and his wife, Tatiana Parker, host Watch for the Hook podcast and run an apparel brand by the same name. Their podcast gives listeners an in-depth look at what really goes on behind the scenes for small business entrepreneurs. The hook is any unforeseen circumstance that is hindering you from achieving the greatness you seek in life. Through their podcast, Michael and Tatiana have created a platform to showcase their experiences as small minority business owners. They discuss the ups and downs, the good and bad, and even the ugly aspects of entrepreneurship with the hope of inspiring others to fight for their dreams. Michael and Tatiana, thank you so much for joining me today and welcome.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
It's my pleasure. I'm so excited for the audience to hear about your cancer journey, your story, your wonderful business, and all the education that you are giving to small business owners and entrepreneurs. So thank you so much for that. Michael, I'm going to start with you first. How did you learn that you had kidney cancer, and what was your initial response?
So kind of like most of my life, it's a wild ride. So this would go back to April of 2019. My wife and kids were living in Arkansas, and I was flying back and forth from Colorado. And so I think I came home one weekend. It was a normal rotation for me. I think every couple of weeks I was coming home for like the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And on and off for like the last year and a half, I just felt fatigued all the time. I eat pretty good. I work out a decent amount. And I've been like the same size for almost like the last 20 years. So, I mean, my weight didn't fluctuate. You know, I wasn't just bloated or nothing. I just had been tired on and off. And I talked to her about it on and off. She was like, man, you just probably just tired. You know, you got these long 10, 12 hour days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the weekends you come home, you on the go the whole time.
Right.
So I'm not just seeing my family. I'm trying to see my friends and other folks. So I'm cramming a lot into that 72 hour
window. Yeah.
And I did that phone off for like 3 years. And so I came home one weekend in April. We went to the movie, and the movie was Us. And, you know, normally I don't have to use the restroom. And like 35, 40 minutes into the movie, I'm like, I don't want to use the restroom. So I said, I'll be back. So I go use the restroom, and then I started urinating blood. And, you know, me and we just keep our mouths shut.
So, typically.
So I kept my mouth shut. So come back, nothing, ain't telling nothing, just kept watching the movie. Mm-mm. 2/3 in the way to the movie, I gotta use the bathroom again. Now, I ain't even drinking nothing.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, dang, out of the bathroom again. Okay, so I go again, same thing happened. So I was like, man, that's wild. And then, so it's like, we leave the movies, we go out to eat, me and a friend of hers, and while we're at the restaurant, I say, I'll use the restroom. And same thing happened again. So I urinated blood 3 times.
And hasn't said anything to me.
I ain't told her nothing. And then, like, walking back toward the table, I saw some people I knew. So I'm talking to them, and I almost fell out right there in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And so came and sat at the table. I told her, because I ordered me a beer, which is the craziest thing of all. I had a beer coming. I was like, oh, I've been looking for this beer all day. And I tell her, well, you just gonna drive me out of the emergency room.
Like, who says that?
I mean, that was my response to all this that's been going on.
Drop me off at the emergency room.
And, I'm not a sickly person. I'm like most people, I get sick in cycles, if it's weather changes or things like that. But it was like, just take me to the emergency room and, we'll figure it out, whatever the rest of it.
Wow.
And so, she had no idea. She's like, what the hell is going on? I said, I'm in the truck. So I tell her in the truck.
Yeah.
And she cuss you out. Like, why you ain't say something? I'm like,
Right.
I just thought it'd go away.
No, that
Black
like,
blood, no.
yes, thank you. Like, that doesn't
Yeah.
just go
Go
away.
away.
What are you talking about? I'm
Yeah. And
sorry.
mind you, her background is health science.
Oh,
So,
okay.
I kept my health concerns from a health science major. So, I'm
Yes.
smart.
Yeah.
And so we go to the hospital and, it feels like somebody just got me like
Would
this.
you say bear hugging?
Yeah, they got me like this. And I mean, it's hurting. I'm laying in bed. I got a pretty decent high pain threshold. And man, it's like somebody got me hurting. And she was like, what you doing? I'm squirming. I'm like, man, this shit hurt. I'm for real, for real. What you call them doctors? They ER doctors? What you call them people?
You can say ER doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the ER doctor walks in and tells me, Mr. Parker, after the MRIs, you got a pretty significant mass on your right kidney. And I was like, oh, what that mean? He was like, that means you need to go see a urologist Monday, this late
Right.
Saturday night. Here's some
Yeah, it's like
medication.
midnight.
Yeah, he like, here's some medication to get you to Monday. I said, play, I got to leave tomorrow. He like, nah, you ain't flying nowhere tomorrow. You might as well go and cancel that flight.
Wow.
So next steps were, I look at my wife and I'm like, well, I guess I ain't flying out tomorrow. And then she looks at me and like, the hell you done doing? Like, I don't know. I mean, no one up here hurting.
Yeah.
And so she like, all right, you need to cancel your flight, talk to your boss back in Colorado, and we'll figure it out from there. So then add on to this long weekend comes Monday. I go to the urologist, me
Like
and
8
her.
o'clock in the morning. We were like the first ones in the building. I think we were like parked out there and the doors were still locked.
So the doctor comes in, he looks at the X-ray, and he said, well, Mr. Parker, you got a 5.6 centimeter
That's
mass
huge.
that's engulfing your right kidney. I'm like, okay. He said, well, looks like we're gonna take that kidney. I said, no, I ain't gotta take no kidney. No, I said, scrape the bad part off and we can just keep the rest.
It was so embarrassing.
And he looked at me, he was like, that's not how this works. And so the next thing, he's Charlie Brown's mama's voice in my ears, wah, wah, wah. So I done mentally done checked out, wah, 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 wah. Guess next steps we go set your surgery. And I'm like, damn, I gotta have surgery. So I've had a couple of surgeries before, a couple of knee scopes, had my gallbladder removed. And so I was like, okay, it ain't the first time I've been under a knife. So
But this was a little different.
yeah,
Right?
my
This
wife
is
had to explain to
major.
me my life was in danger.
That's right. That's major. Yeah.
And so for me, most people, they're invincible. And so, I'm like, I might miss a couple of body parts. I'm like, what's one more? So they tell me, all right, you're gonna have this surgery in 2 weeks. So I go back to Colorado. I talked to my employee at the time, like, hey man, I'm about to be out for like a month. And they were like, what happened? And I explained to them, they're like, you didn't tell your wife what happened. Everybody on my butt. Why you didn't tell your wife? I'm like, I was supposed to. I was just trying to see what was gonna happen.
Because
Hey,
remember, he thought it was going to go away.
just being a man. And so they basically was like, nah, man, take the time you need. You gotta go through all that paperwork, FMLA and all that other stuff. So I go have my surgery middle of April of 2019. And so that starts a whole nother journey for us.
So, like full removal, total removal, right? Nephrectomy.
See, she
Kidney,
know
no.
all those
The
terms,
terms,
nephrectomy. See,
yes.
I don't know how to
That's
even say
good
that.
though. Gone. So that started a new journey for us.
Yes. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And what was your initial reaction? Like, were you shocked? Were you angry? What was going on in your head at the time?
So I'm one of them people, I'm like, man, I've been through hell and back a few times. So I like, dang, That's my initial reaction. So I'm thinking, like I said, I had a couple of surgeries. I done been through something. I'm like, all right, that'll be cool. But when he said, we got to take your whole right kidney, my first thought was, well, at least I got two.
Yeah. True.
I don't know how else everybody's supposed to take it. You know, they're like, we're going to take one. At least you got one more. You know, I guess that's why God gave you two kidneys and not one.
No.
He could have gave me two livers, though. That second liver might have been real good, too, in life.
Yeah. How about you, Tatiana? What was your response after he hid this from you for so long?
Well, it's like I went through the seven stages of grief. Like, I got really, really mad. At first, like, why you didn't say anything? And we could have been coming to the urologist, and maybe this wouldn't have progressed, and the mass wouldn't have gotten so big, you know? Maybe you would have just lost, you know, part of your kidney. I don't know anything. But initially, I was angry at him. But then it was more like, okay, how is this going to affect us? Because, you know, I'm looking at him about to be impacted for X amount of period of time and still impacted to this day because you did lose, you know, kind of a whole organ.
Yeah.
But also two younger daughters. I'm like, all right, so is he about to have to go through some type of treatment, you know, chemos? Is he about to have to take some of these type of medicines? Is he going to have to go through dialysis? If he doesn't have to go through dialysis, what can we start doing now to make sure he doesn't have to go through dialysis? So that's kind of like where my head was at. I'm like, okay, we have an issue. What's our contingency plans? And so I was just kind of like in contingency plan mode. And then I just got, you know, I was like, you're about to be laid up for almost 2 months. All of this stuff you've been doing, you need to make it count now, because you've got me that's been dependent on you and two little girls. So we got to, you know, you got to figure some things out. And it was like, we're so young. How does this happen?
And I'm so sexy,
oh
too.
My God.
No. I'm saying, like, I ain't trying to be no sexy corpse. I'm saying I'm sexy, man. That's just trying
minus,
to be a sexy corpse.
Minus a whole kidney, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know what, Michael, you're blessed to have such an educated wife, someone who's on top of it. So that is a blessing in itself. You know, I'm sure she kept you on your toes and made sure that you took care of all the things that you needed to take care of once she knew what was going on. And
right.
So, Tatiana, I want to transition back over to you. As your role as a caregiver, what were some of the challenges that you faced and how did you overcome those challenges?
Honestly, it was a juggling act. It was me switching from really just focusing on our two girls that were really young at that time, to normally he takes care of me. So
that's how good of a husband.
Yeah.
I take care of all my women.
I had to like do a quick pivot and take care of him. And then I'm the type of person, I really don't reach out for help much. But in order to take care of him, I had to be able to, you know, still take care of the two young little girls. So I had to like bring in my mom, his mom, and everybody just kind of rotated and helped.
And all I had was women surrounding me, telling me what to do.
A lot of weeks.
Yeah.
It worked though. It worked. So it was hard. Like it was a juggling act. And I was still working.
Oh,
so it was just a lot. But fortunately, I was a remote worker. I still am. Had transitioned to working remote. So it was perfect. I'm like, I can watch him from my computer and I can look and make sure he's doing what he needs to do. Because it was a lot, you know, making sure he was up moving. His blood was circulating. He was like, why am I wearing these stockings? I'm like, they're compression socks.
Yeah.
And we don't want any blood clots. That'll lead to additional issues. So it was a lot. Like I had to really just like step up and just make all the decisions. And I did. And I feel like I did it with ease, but it was so stressful. It was so hard not knowing what was going to happen.
I think for me, the wildest thing was that was the first time I spent the night in the hospital since I was born.
Yeah.
So I've had two or three other surgeries, but they was all, you know,
outpatient,
you know, hey, you know, you get out the same day, like, wham, bam. When I woke up later for my surgery, and I tried to lean up, and I had to pull a Fat Joe and lean back. Like, man, okay,
Yeah,
this is
it's
serious.
real.
This is a serious one right here.
It's
Like,
real.
I'd never taken morphine. I was already just hitting the pump.
Wow.
Like,
Like you have a bolus for a reason.
and they charge me for it. I
Exactly.
might as well get what I can get out of it.
Yeah. They're gonna
Yeah.
charge you, that's for sure. I would like to know, how was your relationship with your healthcare team? Do you feel like they explained things very well? Was there something that you were looking for or expecting that you did not get? Can you just tell us a little bit of more about your experience with the healthcare system?
So I had my surgery at the Baptist Health Unit down here in Little Rock, Arkansas. I can tell you from what I can remember, because after I came out from under the anesthesia, everything else was a little different. But I think beforehand, I got great explanations about what's going on. Like I said earlier, I talked about the Charlie Brown voice, but the doctor pretty much explained to me, like, this is beyond recovery to save this. And he was like, but this isn't a death sentence. It's like, listen, you can still have a normal, long, productive life. Just gotta tweak some things in your life. And crazy thing is, when he opened me up, he was like, you a big dude, but I was expecting a little bit more fat on you. He was like, you solid, you more solid than what I thought. So he was like, oh, your weight looks like you obese, but your body tells me nothing, not the same. And I had to understand that even when you get a bodily organ removed, your body has to stay buoyant. So he had to balance out my intestines. So it wasn't just having my kidney removed. He also had to adjust my intestines to keep my body in sync. So it was just more than one thing. It wasn't just getting your kidney removed. It's also having your other organs realigned
Yeah,
to
kind
keep
of
your
stuff it.
body, to keep your body in sync. So, they did a great job of that. And the crazy thing is, I think it was like the day after I had surgery, she was like, all right, you got to get up and start walking. So I got up, started shuffling my feet down the hallway, and I see this elderly black lady. I think she was doing like therapy. And man, this older lady was getting it. And I just scooted my feet inch at a time. And I said, ma'am, I'm trying to get like you. And I just kept pushing. I said, this lady up here doing the hokey pokey, and I need to be doing the hokey pokey by the time I leave here. So yeah, my healthcare team was great for me. The nurses were all great. They took care of me. My wife was, she didn't have any issues, I don't think either.
Nope. It was, I literally had no issues. And I don't like to like pat myself on the back, but I also think,
That's
you
right.
know, at that point, it was beneficial that I do have a healthcare background, healthcare, health science, health education, all of that. So where I may have felt like they were lacking in some responses, I knew some additional questions to ask to be able to probe and get what I needed. So it worked out. I wasn't like obnoxious or anything, trying to read their monitors, but no, it was like, okay, let me ask about this. So
That's
it
good.
was a pretty seamless process.
Good. And again, such a blessing to have an advocate like you. It makes a big difference because there are some people that they don't really have anyone, or if they have someone, they don't have much education either when it comes to the healthcare system. So they just feel like they don't have any control over what's going on. So good job to you for making sure things roll the way they needed to roll. Yeah.
My thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, Michael and Tatiana, what are some things that you learned about yourself while trying to navigate this cancer diagnosis?
So the main thing was that came from all this, even after losing the kidney, sitting up for a month, I had this saying that I've been using on Facebook and social media for a while called Watch for the Hook. And my wife was like, all right, so you down for a month. What you gonna do? And as I say, it's the proverbial piss or get off the pot situation. So she was like, all right, so you got some time. What are we gonna do? I said, so what can we do? And then so we started doing our research, and then we launched, but we didn't launch it just right away. We did our research and we started looking into how to start a clothing line, how to start an apparel line. And we looked for a situation that needed to be addressed in the Black community. And so we looked at message-based apparel. And so from that came the Wash for the Hood clothing line, which we launched in September 2019. And so from that, we are in year number five of business,
Right.
getting ready to launch our offshoot from that line called Legacy Greater Than Me.
Yeah.
That'll be launching here in a few weeks. In between that, off the advice of somebody we used to deal with in 2022, they asked us about why don't y'all start a podcast?
Right.
The original concept that this person came up with was talking to ex-boxers. Me and her mixed that up front
Yeah.
because just in this climate,
It didn't work.
it didn't work for us. The metaphor of the hook is you don't see it coming, it's blindsiding. And so we took that and we moved that to the business aspect because that's what we do. We run a business, we run a small black-owned business. So what we thought about was how can we help those avoid the pitfalls that we've encountered?
The hooks we were hit with on the business side. Yeah.
And that's where the Watch the Hook Business Entrepreneur podcast
Podcast, yeah.
came from. She tells me this was your fourth child, but I always tell them this was her inspiration to me while I was trying to recover.
Oh, nice. Tatiana, how did witnessing your husband experience this, how did it change you?
So it honestly, it helped me kind of realize, like, no matter like how healthy you are, how active you are, how great and clean that you eat, like some things are just going to get you. He couldn't have drank enough green smoothies to not end up with some form of a kidney tumor. Like that just wasn't going to happen. So it really helped me. It put things in perspective. Like some things that you think are important probably aren't. Some things probably need to be prioritized a little higher on your list. Don't take people for granted. And it was just like thinking about the fact that you could have lost him before you knew what was going on, or there's always the potential to lose someone, during a surgical procedure, anesthesia issues and like that. It just really puts things in perspective. Like, okay, let me be more present. Let me be more focused. Let me be more in tune. Let me make sure I'm watching everything. Like, it just really helped me kind of get in touch with myself and in tune with myself.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's nothing like something in life that slows you down and make you stop and be
Yeah.
present and be like, okay, this is what it's really about. And unfortunately, it takes things like cancer and other diseases and illnesses to slow us down to just be able to really take a look at what we really
Right.
have going on. Like some days we could just be like, man, this isn't working right. This isn't working right. But when something major shows up, and it slows us down. It's like, okay, everything's
Right.
good. It could be worse. So now I want to, of course, learn more about your apparel brand, your business, your podcast. I just have one more question. What tips or resources do you all have for anyone listening who may be impacted by kidney cancer?
Our biggest tip is listen to your body. Man, I'm old school minded. The man, you got a little ache, a little pain. I used to play sports and all that. So my threshold is different from everybody else. But what I would say is listen to your body. If you are hurting or feeling a certain type of way for a prolonged period of time, just go see a doctor. I tell people all the time, it's okay to pay that fee to see your doctor than to not be around for somebody else to pay a fee.
Let me piggyback on that. A tip is, for example, with him, he'd been complaining about his back was hurting. He mentioned the fact that by the time he made it to the ER, it felt like a bear hug. But for months before that, he'd been complaining about, oh, my back is a little achy. I think I lifted my weights were too big in the gym or too high or something. So he was going to the chiropractor to get his back. Like, I'm gonna go get my back tweaked in a line, and he'd come back, oh, I feel much better. And then 2 weeks later, my back is back hurting in the same spot. I'm like, clearly going to the chiropractor isn't fixing it. Well, come to find out, It was way more than something a chiropractor could handle. So listen to your body.
But I had been to the doctor for other issues too. It just never resulted in an MRI. Like I have asthma, and so I had respiratory issues. And so I would go to the doctor, and you like, she knew I went to the doctor. You like, so and so looked at my chest X-rays and all this with that, and just took some medicine for the inflammation or the asthma. But the issue was just a little bit further down, just never realized it.
So, in essence, even if you are going to the doctor and there's still something a little not right, be truthful. They cannot treat, they cannot review, process anything like that. They cannot do anything for something that they don't know exists. So he was going in there because his chest was hurting, but he wasn't telling them that, oh, my back is hurting too. So they're not going to treat you for your back because they don't know that your back is aching. They're going to treat you for something in your chest. So be truthful to yourself and to the physicians. Okay.
Great advice. Yes, be truthful so you can get to the root cause a lot quicker before it turns into something major. Now, I want to transition over to your amazing apparel brand, your podcast, Watch for the Hook. Tell us more about that. You told us a little bit about how you got started, your inspiration, but tell us more about where people can find it, your mission behind it.
All right, so you can always find our latest apparel at www.watch4thehook.com. Right now, like I say, we're getting ready to launch our offshoot brand, Legacy Greater Than Me. And the definition of the hook is any unforeseen circumstance that hinders you from achieving the greatness that you seek in life. And that's just the metaphor for the hook. We all can be doing great things in life, but then, as they say, shit happens. That's the hook. Something happens, and it doesn't even happen to me or her. Like something can happen to a family member, and it takes your focus away from what your drive is. That's a hook. And so we try to, speak to that, give a parallel of that, and, make people be aware of that. But it's not how the hook hits you, it's how you respond to it. And that's the biggest thing. Like, man, Black folks, man, we've been persevering. We've been tough. Like that lazy aspect that people try to talk about us, man, we built this thing for free. And we talk about that all the time. And that's what we want to uplift our people. We want to give our kids hope. Like you say, our two youngest daughters, I have an older daughter that's in her 20s. And so we talk about all this good stuff and we want them to strive to be better than us, which is why we came up with the apparel, the second offshoot, Legacy Greater Than Me. We're talking about the legacy that I believe will be greater than me. Me and my wife have legacies that were left to us that went unfulfilled. And so now what we're doing is we're trying to uplift our legacies, rebuild a legacy, and give them a legacy to stand on as they come up.
I love
And as
that.
for the podcast, man, we give an unfiltered truth. Like me and my wife cut up every week. We call it Watch for the Hook Wednesdays. You can find it on all major podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all that great stuff. For me and my wife, I think she gets more out of it than I do. Because the thing is, I'm the talker, but she's the brainchild behind a lot of the topics that we talk about. And I be telling her, like, you need to go on the camera more. She'd be like, I'm not that type of girl. I'm like, man, listen,
I get it.
we a duo, we a combo. Like, you got to come on with it. And she does. And that's what I be talking about. She is a lot of the brains behind all the brawn that comes out. Come
I love
on, girl, talk
that.
about some bigger
Yes,
stuff.
give her her flowers. I love it.
Thank you. And,
Wonderful.
like I say, for us, it's just, we give truth. The sad thing about our culture that gets exposed or heightened is drama, as I call it, that drama. We giving that truth because at the end of the day, I can't leave my kids Bill. I can't leave them a thought. I can't leave them an expectation, but I can leave them a legacy. I can leave them property. I can leave them a business. You know, that's what we've been discussing for years. It's like, we got to leave them more than what we got. Because me and her both then got screwed out of things. But we turned around and said, we not going to let that happen to them.
Right.
So me and her, we go at it. When I say go at it, I mean like, we still work a 40-hour-a-week job.
Yeah.
Still got two kids at two different sports. They going here, here, there, there. We still running this thing. But we understand it's not for us. This ain't for the glorification of Michael Tatiana. This for the uplifting of our people and for helping our children understand that you're going to have to put in the work to get something out of this.
That's right.
I love that. Yes. And unfortunately, in our communities, a lot of times that is not discussed. Leaving a legacy, you know, what are you going to leave behind for your kids? How are you going to get them ready for the world? Like, you're right. That kind of conversation is not shown too much. It is all the drama, the negativity, division, all those things. So I love what you guys are doing and your message. Tatiana, I'll pose this question to you. What are some of the challenges that you faced as an entrepreneur and small business owner, and how did you overcome those challenges?
Probably the biggest challenge we faced is not having the tangible resource, meaning like a person that you can reach out to. Some call it a mentor, right? Not having that one individual that you can trust, that you can reach out to, that you can ask those questions to, that you can say, hey, thinking about this, you know, what do you think about that? And they can actually give you that guidance. So that is like a major obstacle. And it's kind of like another reason why the podcast came about, because we tell people all the time, the stuff I talk about in the podcast now is the stuff I wish we could have told ourselves 4 and 5 years ago. So, and we're giving it to you for free. So it's like, that's the biggest obstacle, which is the inability to really get started. And it's an impediment. It's a really big impediment. It can make or break some people. It didn't break us, but it can.
We had the Bank of Parker. Most people ain't got the Bank of Parker.
Yeah, just digging deep in your own pockets and trying to figure it out. Because again, you don't have that individual or those groups that you can actually reach out to, be it that you don't know who they are or that you know who they could be, but they don't want to let you in. So you have to kind of figure it out on your own. And unfortunately, we're kind of still, you know, as a people, getting it out the mud. We shouldn't still be getting it out the mud. Like,
tabernacle.
Like, why are we still getting it out the mud when there are resources? But when people move up a prong or two on the ladder, they no longer want to share. They don't want to reach back. So our podcast, we reaching back. We telling you everything. How to, when to, why to, would you?
How not to.
Right.
But child, we had a few not to.
Right. And we talk about those too. That's the episodes I'd be a little upset on.
We keep the transparency 100.
So it's, yeah, resources. That's a major obstacle.
It is so true. I can attest to that. And you mentioned something that I think is so important. You mentioned getting started, but it's hard staying too. You know, when you just don't have the support, you don't have the resources, and you're just trying to figure it out, and you're paying for it out of pocket and trying to maintain all these other things. So it is, but I think that wanting to leave a legacy and having that strong purpose, that's what it's about. That's what's going to drive you, or that's what drives me anyway. And it's like, you just figure it out. And a lot of people are scared to get started because they figure they need to know it all. And no one knows it all. Just get out there, do what you can do. Try to find good people, the right resources. So I appreciate everything you guys do. I know I just have to tell the audience about this because it's really big now with like AI and all this other stuff. But I did listen to one of your episodes about copywriting. Your, what's the word I'm trying to look for?
Oh, trademarking.
Trademarking. Thank you so much. Trademarking and just Making sure all your assets and all that stuff are protected. And so can you guys just talk a little bit about that? Because protecting your business name, your brand, I know that's important. What are some things that you've learned about that?
Intellectual property, right? Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. You got that.
Yeah, we have trademarked three times. We trademark on our own. We trademark with no lawyers. We are the type of people that if it's going to be found, we're going to find it. We're going to figure it out. I will pick the phone up and be like, this doesn't make sense. Explain it to me. So that was very, very, very important to us. It just signified a couple of things. The fact that we were embarking on a journey of sustainability. We're trying to come out the gate with legitimacy.
Tabernacle.
Just like, okay, we're here. We're real. We've gone through the process. We're planning to be around. We paid all the fees. We've jumped through all the hurdles because it's a lot of steps. And we did find out that it is not a quick process.
Yeah. But what's the old adage? Nothing worth having is going to come to you easy, right?
Yeah. But we stuck through it. So everything that we put out, that we produce, it's protected. It's ours. We own it. Whether you said it first, I wrote it down first.
And submitted to the United States Patent Trade
Mark Office
first. That's what our people don't get. So this is the wild thing. We just came off Black History Month. And we turn around and we see all these Black inventors. But who owned the patent? White folks.
Not them.
Mm-hmm. And my wife loves a certain show. It's back in the 1800s. I ain't going to promote them because they ain't doing it for me. Patent back in the 1800s was $20.
Yeah, it was.
Crazy thing. Black folks was piecing up with white folks, getting them patents. But they didn't get the residual. Right. They didn't get their name in Black and white. And so that's where for us, whether Watch for the Hook took off or Legacy Greater Than Me took off, it was a simple fact is that we own it.
We own it.
You know, you can look at the music business. Black folks been making music since Lucifer. That's how it goes, you know, church and all that. But who been making all that money?
Right.
Who owns all these record labels and big major companies? Not us. Mm-hmm.
So we took the necessary steps to be able to do trademarking for protection of intellectual property, mm-hmm. business licensing, logos to go with the business, you know, creating the umbrellas, the tax IDs. We did all of that. We did it ourselves. It's possible, but just like with us and having our own apparel brand with our web domain, we can move things around. We can host whatever we want on our platform because it's ours.
Yeah.
So we can do what we want when we want to because it's ours. We took the necessary steps. It's very important.
And it's freedom. Freedom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be able to say what you want, when you want, how you mm-hmm. want, that is freedom. Mm-hmm.
It feels good.
Absolutely. In addition to your next clothing brand, what's next for you? Anything else you're going to be working on soon?
You want me to tell the true truth? Hold the truth in.
No, it's up to you.
Right. So the true truth behind the whole thing about legacies and things of that nature, me and Ms. Parker have been in the real estate game for like a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And so right now, one of our legacy projects is we're renovating a 12-unit apartment complex in my hometown of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That was owned by my grandparents. Me and Ms. Parker owned it outright. That's something else we've been working on. You know, that's something that stays in the background.
It stays in the family.
Yeah, we've been working on it. And I mean, that goes back to legacy. You know, my grandparents had it through my daddy. Now it's with me. We're going to leave it to our kids. Mm-hmm. That's going to touch four generations at a minimum. We had an episode where we talked about generational wealth. And I think that generational wealth isn't technically for Black people just yet. we need to leave behind generational assets.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't understand Black folks only been making money maybe one or two generations. And you start looking at the concept of generational wealth means multiple generations, four, five, six, seven. We're not there. So we need to leave behind generational assets that help generate money to get you to a status of being able to pass on other assets and monies to the people coming behind you. So what we're hoping is the legacy we leave behind be greater than us.
Amen to that.
Perfect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add to that, Tatiana?
We always have projects going on, but you can probably tell that by now. And we do still work full-time jobs. So it's never a dull moment, but everything that we do is done with great intention and it has purpose. So that's just kind of how we function and how we move. So yeah, we're going down this next path with renovations. Yeah. We're going to see how that works.
That's a big project right there. But you guys can do it. You can do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to put out. We got our mindset. So, you know, it is what they say, it is what it is. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say you are such an inspiration as a couple, as entrepreneurs and business people, and then also as a family, a unit who has survived and is thriving after cancer. So as we wrap up this episode, I have a couple more questions because I think they're really important. Michael, I'll start with you. What is one I wish I would have known? And it can be about anything. It doesn't have to be cancer related, but anything.
My biggest what I would have known is I wish I understood the tools I did not have. So for me and my wife, we go to counseling. We do good things because you have to figure out tools. I was raised by a single mother. She was raised by a single mother. But for me, the things I learned in life, I learned most of them more in life. Mm-hmm. So when you learn them in life, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the biggest thing was just being able to have those tools to understand how to work them.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing.
Tatiana, what is one I wish I would have known?
I think I probably would have wish I would have known. I don't know, maybe like as a person to just be like, I wish I would have known that if I were upfront or more direct or spoke my mind sooner, that it wouldn't have been bad, you know? Like, does that make sense? Like, just being you, I wish I wish I would have known just to be okay with being me, and it was gonna be okay.
My wife is very direct,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you'll never be able to tell it because most people think that I'm the more outspoken one, but you'll be surprised. It's actually her. Mm-hmm. You really wouldn't think that, but my wife is what they call a straight shooter. Old school, yeah. She a straight shooter. And sometimes her straight shooter gets looked at as being maybe a little bit angry or a bit aggressive. Oh. But she's really not. She's just honest. And the crazy thing is our youngest child, Talia, which, you know, we already had the Talia and Talia discussion previously. You know, Talia is a straight shooter. So, you know, she get the earnest, as they say.
That's a good trait to have, though, especially in these days and times, because a lot of people will say one thing and immediately do something else. Mm. And so I think that that's a good quality to have. And I never have taken it that way or in a negative way or even really thought it was just a bad thing. You know, you're just speaking your mind. That's what you have your mind for. And you need to let people know where you're coming from, just so they can get on the right track and get on the right page. So there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm.
She gets you right. Me, you, and right. Me, she gets you right.
But I'm not offensive. Yeah. Like, I'm not offensive.
Straight shooter.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta Sniper. Be. You gotta be that. All right. So finally, what are some key takeaways or insights that you would like the listeners to get from our discussion today?
For me, the biggest thing is just listen to your body. Don't be afraid. And as Guy Mordo in the Doctor Strange movie says, Bill will always come through. And that's just life in general. Like the bill is gonna always come through. It's either gonna be on the front end, the middle, or the back end. You gotta figure out when you wanna pay that bill. And you know, black folks be like, man, I don't know doctor. What's he gonna charge me? Listen, the bill gonna always come due. You just gotta figure out when you wanna pay the bill. That's my biggest takeaway. I want everybody to understand it. Like I say, we appreciate you having us on here. And you know, Tatiana got a good take too.
I honestly would just like to say, like, it's okay to not be okay. It really is. And it's only considered something that's, to me, is only considered failure if you don't try again. Like, keep going. That's what we do. That's what we live by. We keep going. Don't stop.
That is a great way to wrap up. Thank you so much for the wisdom and knowledge that you shared today. Thanks for sharing your positive and uplifting energy. I love it. Anything else that you would like to share before we wrap up?
If you're looking for Watch for the Hook, you can always come by www.watch4thehook.com. You can check us out on IG at Watch4, FOUR, The Hook. Twitter, Watch4, The, THA, The Hook. YouTube, Watch for the Hook brand. TikTok, Watch for the Hook brand. Watch for the Hook Wednesdays, every Wednesday on Apple, Spotify, Podcasts. Listen, we keep it 100, maybe 1,000. Because I'm going to tell y'all, we tell y'all some real hard stories. And I'll be like, folk be like, man, how the hell y'all surviving? But we keep doing
Right.
it. We keep pushing through. But you got that.
That was it right there.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much again for joining me today, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I appreciate you so much. I would like to give a shout out to the listeners. Thank you for joining us. Please share, follow, or subscribe so that you can easily find this podcast and listen again. You can also listen to Navigating Cancer Together on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Are you looking to expand your professional network? Join me on LinkedIn. As an active member of the platform, I would like to personally invite you to connect with me. Let's grow our connections together. Search for Talaya Dindi, BCPA. That's spelled TalayaDendyBCPA. BCPA. That is it for this Wednesday. And until next time, let's keep navigating cancer together. Take care.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Navigating Cancer Together. I hope you found it helpful. Please be sure to subscribe, share, and tell your friends and family about it. For notes from the show and previous episodes, visit ontheotherside.life and check out the podcast section. I would love it if you join me for the next episode. Talk to you soon.